This show is presented in part by Dodge. Domestic, not domesticated. Auto news, exclusive interviews, real world test drives. It's your turn to step into the driver's seat. This is The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
Well, there's just so much going on this weekend in the auto industry. You know why? The sun is shining. People are pulling their collector cars and classic cars and even their new cars out of the garage. And they're like, yes, I get to drive my whatever it is. I'm Alan Taylor, of course. BJ Colleen joining me to talk about news and happenings. Bottom of the hour, we're going to have George Kennedy III talk about some crazy little electric car he drove, which I don't much care about, but it doesn't matter. It's got to be talked about. Hi, BJ.
Hey, Mr. Allen. Happy April.
Thank you. So, yes, it is. And I got to tell you, in the part of the country that I live, I know you're in Henderson, outside of Vegas there. It's beautiful. It's always beautiful over there. But where I live in the Pacific Northwest, we get a lot of rain, but it has been beautiful, sunny. I've been working in the garden. I was tempted to take off my shirt because it was that nice. It was like 78 degrees the other day. And then I realized, yes, people would think I was a woman out there because I have man meat. If you know what I'm saying, on my chest. It doesn't look like I'm a man sometimes, if you know what I mean. I don't know how to describe that. Man boobs. All right, I said it. But they're going away. I'm getting rid of them because I'm on a diet. I have too much back fat and too much man boobs, and I'm trying my best. But I thought, if I take my shirt off, they'll call the police and say that some woman's gardening with her top off, until I stood up and they saw that I look like a Sasquatch. Don't worry. He's just a Sasquatch. It's the Pacific Northwest. No big deal. Anyway, oh my God.
I have the opposite problem. I'm trying to keep my boobs as I lose weight. I don't want those things to go away.
See, we have the exact opposite problem. But, you know, I have been on keto diet now since January, and I lost 13 pounds, but I am stuck. I am plateaued. Okay, so it's not car talk anymore. It is now diet talk. But I am plateaued on this diet. I'm really working hard at eating right on keto, on the keto diet. You know, I'm buying the right things, but I'm like stuck. And then so I called BJ, by the way, this morning, and I she says to me, you got to eat more protein. I'm like, so all right. I went down to this little Hawaiian food place over here. I go, make me some teriyaki chicken, and that's it. So I got like a giant thing of chicken, and I'm pretty sure I'm going to be constipated. I'm going to be like, trying to lay an egg, but it'll be all chicken.
I'd like to see that egg that you laid. I've laid a few eggs in my day, but not the kind that you can scramble up. So.
Anyway, how's your diet going?
I've lost 20 pounds since Good the beginning
for
of the year.
So. All right. That is awesome.
Just exercise more and eat less.
And if you think about it, that 20 pounds of weight for you, and for me, 13 pounds, which for a woman to lose 20 pounds, that'd be like me losing like 30 or 40 pounds. But that's huge. And but you know what the cost of that was? That must have cost you $10,000 worth of food to put that weight on. You know what I mean? So I'm just feel like I don't eat that much anymore. So my entire housing bill has gone down. Because I used to be like a poop machine. All I did was eat. And it's like when the toilet paper shortage happened?
Were you in trouble?
I'm telling you what, I was scared to death. I went out and I bought washcloths like they were going out of style. Because I got to tell you, as much as I ate, there was a lot of action going on. Anyway. All right. So the show has deviated from cars to body fluids and things like that. But that's all right. It's the weekend, and everyone knows that I am going crazy from this COVID thing because, you know, we've been locked up for so long. It's amazing that this show is even airable. You know what I mean?
Yes. But we're slowly getting back to normal. Vegas is seeing more people come, more tourists, and things are more open. So I'm still awaiting my vaccine, but I'll get it soon, I hope.
You know what? I got to tell you, I got a friend that took it the other day. And an older lady, and I'll just tell this story because it's relevant. She was, I don't know, she's pretty darn old, but I got to say, she took it, and she is now blind. So, yes, there are some back, what do you want to call it?
What do you mean she's blind?
She can't see. This is a true story. She can't see, so she doesn't know whether it's an effect of the COVID, but that's the only thing that she's done. She had kind of bad vision, but she, so yeah, there's people that are saying they're having side effects. I don't want side effects. Give me some COVID. I'll take it. Two of my brothers got it. You know, we were hoping that they wouldn't make it through, but they did. Dang it.
Oh, terrible.
I know. But that's how brothers are with each other. I told you this show shouldn't even be airable. We'll come back. I'll get reprimanded by the network. I promise I'll be better on the other side. We'll be right back.
Cancer is the number one cause of death by disease for children in the U.S. today. Since the Austin Hatcher Foundation's birth in 2006, it has grown to provide unique programs to help the children and the families affected by pediatric cancer. Support begins at the time of diagnosis and continues throughout survivorship at no cost to families. Lives touched by the foundation continue to rise each day. But we need your help. Donate, volunteer, or partner with the Austin Hatcher Foundation. Learn how you can get involved. Visit hatcherfoundation.org for more information.
This is The Drive with Alan Taylor.
I know. I said, all right. Geez, they're in there shaking their finger at me already. Knock it off, you guys. Let me do my job, all right? Would you quit it? Unbelievable. BJ, help me out here. I didn't say anything bad.
You're on your own.
Go on, get out of here. Leave me alone. It is unbelievable. They keep shaking their finger through the window. Okay. All right. So let's talk about cars. What they said, it's a car show. It's not a health show. Okay. Okay.
Okay. Let's talk about.
Yes.
Volkswagen.
Oh my gosh. All right. Well, let's set the stage. First of all, April Fool's Day, a couple days ago, and Volkswagen decides to try to do some sort of an April Fool's thing and say, tell me if I'm wrong, because this is what I heard. That they're going to change the name because, you know, everybody's doing these name changes or logo changes. Kia changed their logo. General Motors changed their logo. A number of other ones did. But all of a sudden, Volkswagen's like, we're going to do something fun. So they're going to change the name of Volkswagen to Volt, V-O-L-T, Volkswagen, like electric cars. Tell the rest of the story, BJ.
Well, let's back up one step because you and I have been in this industry a long time. It is tradition for the automotive manufacturers to put out a phony press release on April Fool's Day. They've been doing it for as long as I've been in the industry, and it's always fun to see what they come up with. Well, right. Volkswagen actually created this press release that talked about changing the name to Volkswagen. The problem with it is that they released it like 3 days before April Fool's Day. And because nobody has a sense of humor in this country anymore,
right.
And the minute I saw it, I knew it was the April Fool's one, but somebody released it and people got a hold of it and they started to panic and had a heart attack. And then Volkswagen, the problem with it, even started out as a good idea. I don't know if they accidentally released it early to try to beat everybody else to the punch or if they thought it would be funny to release it early on purpose. But the bottom line is that It was a great idea, very cute. The problem with it is that when journalists asked them, multiple journalists asked them if it was real, they said, yes, it was. So they, instead of just making a joke out of it, they added to the lie. And when doing that, then apparently it hit the stock and it affected their stock prices, which got the SEC regulations on their back.
Oh.
And the problem with that is after they've had the whole Dieselgate scandal, this just didn't look really good. So it was like a mistake that was supposed to be funny that just blew up in their faces is the problem.
Oh, my gosh. So what I heard was, by the way, you're like, why would the SEC care if their stock price went down because they made a stupid joke? It didn't go down, did it? It went up. Yeah.
Correct.
Like,
and when you start manipulating stocks like that, you're asking for a lot of people coming and knocking on your door. But again, I don't think that was never their intention. I'm 99% sure there wasn't their intention to manipulate the stock market. It's just, again, that people have short memories, number one. Journalists should know that it was a joke, but few of them did, and they said, really, they made them confirm it. So that was the people's first mistake. And second mistake was Volkswagen should have never said, yeah, it's true. They should have said it was an April Fool's joke. So everybody's got some culpability here. It's just that nobody has a sense of humor anymore and didn't take it that way. So
well,
that's what makes me crazy.
The funny part is the guy that was, I think, responsible and even named in some of the stories that have been written and talked about used to work at Car and Driver magazine when I was there. And you and I both know him. His name's Mark Gillies. And I think he's going to be the fall guy for this because he's quoted all over the place. Some heads are going to roll somewhere. I don't think the Germans are going to be really happy about what's going on. So we'll find out, I'm sure, by next week.
Anyway. Yeah, but Mark is a good guy, and he's a great PR guy, and he's a smart guy. So, you know, I don't know. Did he – was he given the instructions to lie and keep the joke going? We don't know. So you're right. He may be looking for a new job.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
All right. Well, so it is not going to be Volkswagen. It's going to be Volkswagen, just like it was, a German name. And but, you know – it's funny how people got all excited. Oh, good. Volkswagen is going to go all electric. Buy stock, buy stock, buy stock. What? But Volkswagen, electric cars, they already got electric stuff going on there. I don't get it. What is the fascination with all these electric cars and electric car companies? These normal car companies are like going nuts because their stock isn't what it should be. And Tesla... their cars aren't what they should be, but their stock is like 20 times what it should be. Come on, people. Internal combustion. Hoo-yah! We'll be right back. We'll talk about some concept cars with BJ Colleen. Maybe a little bit more diet talk. We'll be right back.
Sister, don't you do what your big sister done. Well, I dated your big sister.
Brembo has been stopping champions on the track as well as drivers like you and me on the street for over 50 years. Whether it's UV-coated brake discs, low-dust premium ceramic brake pads, or high-temperature brake fluid, BremboStoreUSA.com is the place to go to buy genuine Brembo OE-equivalent replacement brake components. Go to BremboStoreUSA.com to help you achieve that 60-0 braking performance you deserve and expect from Brembo. Brembo, the choice of champions and consumers for over 50 years.
Hey brother, there's an endless road to rediscover. Hey sister,
I love this song. Anyway, it is The Drive. I'm Alan Taylor, BJ Colleen joining us. Our show brought to you in part by AutoTempest.com. You know, if you're shopping for a new car online, AutoTempest.com makes online car shopping easy. Why? Because if you're going to be shopping and you're going to go to Auto Trader and eBay, Motors, Carvana, Cars and Bids, True Car, all these, why not shop them all at once? Yes, all the cars, one search. Give it a try. It even includes Craigslist. So whatever you're looking for in the way of a car, truck, SUV, whatever it is, AutoTempest.com. All right, BJ. I love that song, by the way. I can't help it. It's just the way I am. So you're going to talk about some concept cars, and I'm thankful for that because, you know, with the COVID thing and the lack of auto shows, concept cars have been, you know, they just haven't been being shown to the world. So what do you got?
Yeah, concept vehicles, they used to come out of all the auto shows, but, you know, it got expensive to do concept vehicles. So unless it kind of turned into a production car, not too many manufacturers were doing concepts anymore. But Genesis, you know, the brand that I'm associated with, actually just yesterday introduced the Genesis Concept X vehicle. And it's an EV-based Gran Turismo concept car. It's absolutely stunning. It kind of looks like the Mercedes SLS when it came out. But, again, it's all about having an electric vehicle because Genesis doesn't have one. The only cars they have are internal combustion engines.
So this is the Concept X, which is their first electric vehicle. Back to the electric vehicle thing.
Yes, yep. That is correct. Okay. So they're finally going to the electric vehicle. Now, we know Hyundai, their parent company, has a lot of electric vehicles, but this would be the first one for them. And they really like the way that it's styled. They said it's symbolizes a hidden hero with that X. And they call it the ultimate vision of athletic elegance, because athletic elegance really is what the Genesis design element and themes are all about. It's got a very low yet broad silhouette, which looks really good. They've got the Crest grille, which is Hyundai's signature grille, incorporated into it. And the two lines, again, that's another Hyundai signature design element, is throughout the vehicle on the outside. And it's really cool. What's funny is they only talk a lot about the design. They really didn't talk too much about the power plant and what it's going to be using and things like that. So they just wanted to show the design. They've got a dashboard and a driver cockpit area that really is centered toward the driver. They have a crystal sphere electronic shift lever, which is kind of cool, different drive modes. And they've got four-point seat belts. And I'll post a picture, a couple pictures, on the Facebook page for the Drive Radio Show so people can go check it out there. But it really is kind of cool. But again, we don't know anything about the propulsion of it, just that it looks really awesome. And they said that some of those design elements kind of hint at what the design elements are going to be for Genesis moving forward. So, well, it's pretty cool.
Here's what Car and Driver says. Genesis X Coupe is the luxury brand's most gorgeous concept yet. Here's from Motor Trend, Genesis X concept first look review. One stunning electric coupe. So there you go, from the two brands that I used to work with anyway. And BJ, you know, you and I spent a lot of times with these magazines. And today, it's interesting how they're changing so much that this internet, people can have it instantly. All I did is write Concept X. And, you know, here's like 50 different people talking about it. And it's all like just in the last, you know, 24 hours or so. So I can't wait to see it. I'm okay that they're making an electric vehicle, because everybody's going to have all these different things in their stable at some point. And like I said, you know, I'm going to talk to George Kennedy. He's going to be driving the Chevy Bolt. I'm going to throw the 1,000-horsepower GMC Hummer in his face and go, all right, you drive that, I'll drive this. 3 seconds, 0 to 60. Love it. That's the kind of electric car I want anyway.
Okay. Well, I'm sure that the Concept X is going to be, because they're calling it a high-performance GT. So yeah. Whenever you got a high performance and GT together, we know that it's going to create some impressive horsepower. And what's nice about the Hyundai parent company is they haven't abandoned hydrogen power either. So right, I think there may eventually be a Genesis hydrogen vehicle also. Well, so that's my choice.
I have my fingers crossed for this e-fuel, whatever the heck that is going to be, you know, a synthetic fuel that's supposed to be more efficient than even electric. So, all right, real quick, in about 2 minutes, Hyundai Santa Cruz compact pickup. What do you got?
Yep, I was showing at the auto show a couple of years ago. They're actually April 15th is going to be the world premiere. Wow. And if you know the Honda Ridgeline, basically it looks a lot like that. They call it a four-door vehicle with a short cargo bed, represents a blending of crossover and truck. Mm. They call it a sport adventure vehicle, and it looks pretty cool. You can go online and type in Hyundai Santa Cruz compact pickup, and you'll be able to see some pictures of it. It's going to be built in Montgomery, Alabama, so that's impressive.
Well, Hyundai's got the Santa Fe. It's an SUV. Now they're going to have a Santa Cruz, and then probably a Santa Paula, Santa Barbara, Santa Monica. What else is going to be coming from them anyway? That's funny.
I don't know.
All right. Well, thank you. I still cannot figure out the fascination with all electric. I've been driving the Chrysler Pacifica hybrid, plug-in hybrid, by the way, and I still like having an internal combustion engine under the hood. Yeah, I like the electric stuff. I get it, but I like them both. In other words, I don't want to be stranded. I don't want range anxiety. I don't want any of that. I want to be able to plug my vehicle in the garage at night to, you know, or at work or anywhere you might go. I like that whole plug-in idea. So I don't know.
I do too.
Yeah, through the years, I'm sure I'm going to get older and go, yeah, sure, give me one of them electric cars. One that'll drive itself, my God. BJ, Colleen, thank you.
Thanks, Alan.
I'm on a diet, you guys, so anything I say cannot be used against me in a court of law. We'll be right back.
I'm very tired, and I'm not feeling right. All I Now's the time to earn your bragging rights and rule the road in a powerful Dodge vehicle. With enough style, horsepower, and performance to make your muscle car dreams come true, it's no wonder J.D. Power named Dodge the number one ranked brand in initial quality and driver appeal for mass market brands. Join the brotherhood and experience the strength of Dodge muscle today. Visit Dodge.com or see your local Dodge dealer for great deals. Tied for initial quality study. For J.D. Power 2020 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
Well, now it's time for my buddy George Kennedy III, co-founder of Cartender, and he's a freelance automotive journalist working for such brands as Car Gurus, Boston Globe, U.S. News and World Report, and The Drive right here with us. George Kennedy III. So, George, did you see what that Hummer, that 2022 GMC Hummer, and it almost already sounds natural and normal to call it a GMC Hummer, because I think most of us gearheads knew that the underpinnings of the Hummer H2 was basically like a Tahoe or a Suburban or something, right?
Yeah, you know, right. So. It's still a little weird that GM has chosen for its return to like big electric to be like the symbol for gas guzzling vehicles of the early 2000s.
I know, right? But wait a minute. Hold on. You're driving a Chevrolet Bolt, like a Lightning Bolt, which is all electric. So, right. But you're right though. This, because as we saw these big old Hummers, these gas sucking pigs, and people actually got like yelled at, like, look at you, you pig, you know, driving a Hummer.
And it became like a cultural touchstone, sure.
Right. And then all of a sudden, they come back with a Hummer. And by the way, so what happened at Barrett Jackson Collector Car Auction last weekend was the 2022 GMC Hummer EV, all electric vehicle, Edition 1, VIN number 001, first ever retail production vehicle. It's the world's first all-electric, what they're calling a super truck, engineered to forge new paths with zero emissions. I'm just giving you the stuff they're saying. Fully electric, driven by the next generation EV propulsion technology that enables unprecedented off-road capability, extraordinary on-road performance, and immersive driving experience. Designed to put drivers at the center of every moment. Look at how that's written. Is that funny or what? Anyway, 1,000 horsepower. Go ahead.
You know, it's funny that I'm in the Chevy Bolt the same week, right? Because, right. You know, we'll talk about that car in a bit, but that's a very practical application. That's very minimalist. This is sort of big, over the top. It's going to have 1,000 horsepower and 1,000 pound-feet of torque, and it's going to go 0 to 60 in about 3 seconds and do all these crazy things. And that's sort of the Tesla approach of build it a little bit bigger. It allows you a bigger battery platform.
Wait a minute.
Doing all sorts of really cool things. So
Hold on. You made a mistake there. Hold on. This is 1,000 horsepower. GM estimated 11,500 pound-feet of torque.
Oh, jeez.
Right? So, in other words, it's because it's electric. So 1,000 horsepower is, my demon had 840 horsepower. So 1,000, but electric 1,000 horsepower is like instant on demand. You turn a light switch on, the light goes, bing, it's on. That's where, you know, you can have that much, you can create as much torque as you want. Bam.
Right. And what's really cool about that is for off-roading, where there's some features on this design for off-roading, such as the, you know, suspension that adjusts, the ability for it to crab walk, the four-wheel steering.
Right.
Off-roading is all about that low-end power, low-end torque.
Right.
So having a vehicle with that much torque, such, you know, zero RPM, is going to be really cool for the trail. Be really interesting to see what it does.
So GM's calling it the three-motor E four-wheel drive propulsion system. Estimated 11,500 pound-feet of torque. Segment-exclusive four-wheel steer crab walk, as you decide. You talked about there. Diagonal drive functionality and adaptive air suspension. This is like a moon rover. It was what it boils down
right,
to.
Right. Right. And there's going to be an SUV variant of it coming soon.
Yeah, well, because this is a truck. It's like a crew cab, removable sections of the roof.
That's
right. You know, it's pretty interesting. But here's the thing. General Motors estimates a 0 to 60 time approximately 3 seconds.
Yeah, which is pretty wild for a vehicle that big. I mean, it's gonna put other trucks and SUVs to shame. I think the most important number, though, is 350, that 350 miles of range. Because the way that Tesla approached it, where you go bigger with the battery with the Model S, the way that GM is approaching it with the Hummer EV, bigger battery, all this capability, really what you're driving towards, pardon the pun, is longer range that is not going to give you that quote unquote range anxiety. So 350 miles, that's getting you your road trip. That's getting you your weekend trip without having to do that, you know, overnight recharge. Well, so,
and here's what interests me. Okay. It's got an up to, and I notice how they say up to 350 kilowatt, 800 volt DC fast charge, capable of charging in 100 miles worth of driving in just 10 minutes.
That'll be interesting
now,
to see.
I mean, yeah,
when
baby.
You get that amount of energy transfer, you're getting a lot of heat. So
yeah.
I'll be curious to see how safe that is, how reliable that is. You feel the back of your phone after, you leave it on a wireless charger or something,
right.
And it's pretty hot. So anytime you're dealing with that amount of, energy transfer, there's going to be a lot of heat generated. So to see it done reliably over a long period of time, that'll be the true test. And, every one of these brands that's dealing with electric cars, a lot of it is going to be sort of trial and error.
Well, so this sold last Saturday, everybody, last Saturday, March 27th, on the block at Barrett Jackson Collector Car Auction, and it brought $2,500,000. And what a wonderful thing that the entire 100% of the Hammer price, which means, bam, sold, the Hammer price, benefits the Stephen Siller Tunnels to Tower Foundation. And so $2.5 million. Awesome.
Yeah, it's great
that good will come from that, lots of good. But $2.5 million, so it's not about the vehicle at that point, it's about the Tunnels to Tower Foundation.
That's
somebody
right.
Some huge corporation or incredibly wealthy person or whatever it is had a gigantic pile of money, and boy did they spend it for a cool vehicle. But so it's electric now. I will say that this vehicle, this could be a game changer, because I don't know what they're actually going to sell for when they finally get past the craze that is going on, like with the same thing with the Bronco. I think they also sold serial number one Bronco. Would it bring like $1.5 million, right? So that's
right. So
four,
like that,
$4 million they raised for charity. God bless them. I think it's great. I've worked with them for two decades. I'm glad to have been a part of many of those things. And the people were not buying; they weren't spending the money on the car. They were spending the money on the charity, and the car was just kind of like a puff piece to have, sit in your lobby at your big business, whatever it might be,
driving
around. But the thing is, so back to the electric thing, it could be a game changer. My guess is this thing's going to be $110,000 or $115,000, this Hummer, GMC Hummer, and it'll be available at GMC dealers, I'm sure, pretty quick here. But this could change my opinion of electric cars. And sadly, what what you're driving right now will never, ever change my opinion. The Chevrolet Bolt, B-O-L-T, B as in boy, Bolt, because they make a Volt. Are they still making the Volt, or did they do away with that?
No, they've stopped making that. Yeah. And that was a range extended hybrid. That was the little sort of the way the BMW i3 was.
Which I think it's great.
Electric car with a small gas generator.
I think it's great. So when we come back, George Kennedy III is going to talk about not the Hummer. He's going to talk about the opposite, the tiniest little thing in the General Motors, in their electric vehicle lineup. The Chevrolet Bolt. So if you want something to just get around town or get back and forth to work, this might be it. We'll take a break. Be right back. It's The Drive.
When you think Subaru, you think love. The 2021 Subaru Outback will make you fall in love with its state-of-the-art safety features, a spacious and comfortable interior, and convenient amenities, all ready for any adventure. Standard symmetrical all-wheel drive, plus up to 33 miles per gallon, 8.7 inches of ground clearance, X-Mode with hill descent control, and a direct-injected turbocharged Subaru boxer engine will make you love every adventure in your Outback. Love, it's what makes Subaru, Subaru. EPA estimated highway fuel economy for 2021 Subaru Outback non-turbo models. Actual mileage may vary. Turbocharged engine and 11.6 inch touchscreen available on select models.
Well, our show is brought to you in part by Brembo and Brembo Brakes, the choice of champions. We thank them for the sponsorship of the show. That's how we pay the bills. George Kennedy is here. He's saying, how about me? How about some do-re-mi cabbage? Anything will do. Hi, George. It's an act of love. You know that.
You know, baby.
George Kennedy, you can find him probably Car Gurus. He does a lot of videos for them and stuff. And Boston Globe. And U.S. News and World Report right here on The Drive. Okay, so in the break, you said you had another comment you wanted to make about that GMC Hummer.
Yeah, I was thinking of, you know, they push a lot of the off-road ability of this new Hummer EV. And a few years ago, I had the opportunity to drive the Range Rover plug-in hybrid prototypes during the LA Auto Show in the mountains and, you know, outside of Los Angeles. Yeah. And one thing I noticed, and this was an early prototype, was that in full electric mode, it was almost binary, like hitting the button on an RC car switch. Mm. And that, what, you know, where that's weird is that it can maybe get the tires a little too twitchy and breaking away from its traction. So I'm sure this is something that Range Rover has observed and solved for. With so much torque being created by this Hummer EV, it'll be interesting to see if they manage the power well enough so that it does get that traction, because that's a ton of torque. And getting that down in a way that allows that probably big, heavy SUV to crawl properly without breaking free of its traction, that's going to be important for people that want to take this thing off-roading.
Yeah, well, you're an off-road enthusiast, and I know that you know we, George and I, cannot wait to go crab walking up the side of a mountain. Anyway, that's coming. We'll be talking about that. My guess is within this calendar year, but I still don't really know when they're going to get them out into the hands of journalists. But I think it's going to be an awesome machine. It's just going to be a pile of money. All right, speaking about the tiny little pile of money, like change in your pocket, I think the Chevy Bolt. Well, give us a little bit of insight to this vehicle. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, if the Hummer EV is sort of the electric halo vehicle, then this is sort of the far more practical application, the other side of the spectrum. It's a true EV, electric vehicle, very minimalist design, the same way you would see out of the Nissan Leaf. So where you see Tesla kind of going with that bigger approach with more power, more range, this is trying to find that sweet spot of, you know, get really minimalist with the design, reduce as much weight as you can, and, you know, put a powertrain together that complements that well. So it's far more affordable. I mean, this thing starts at $43,900.
Is it that much? Wow, those are expensive.
And then you factor in the tax breaks and all that stuff.
Yeah, but you know what? Hold on. I hate that, because then it's not really a tax break. It's kind of like a, you know, it's like a mind. It messes with my brain. I guess that's the only way I can say it, because, well, then.
Well, it's they call it an incentive, and that's what it is.
Yeah, I mean, come on. You know what I mean? My daughter the other night, she says, Dad, I think I'm going to buy this Chrysler Pacifica hybrid, which I have a plug-in hybrid right now.
That's right. Yeah, it's a plug-in hybrid minivan. Right. No, I think those are
I like it. Yeah, I like it. It gets crazy mileage. And then if you go on, you know, the E equivalent, it's like 82 miles the gallon. But on gasoline, it'll still get like 29 miles the gallon on the highway. And this is a people-moving machine. But she says, how much is it? I said, well, it's like $50,000. And she goes, $50,000? And then her husband goes, yeah, but you got $7,500 tax rebate for the blah, blah. And she goes, okay, $42,500. All right, because $7,500, right? So I thought, well, that just sucks. Why don't they just say $42,500? Which is realistic price.
The actual base price is closer to like $36,500. We had like a higher level trim. Right. So, I mean, $36,500 and then minus the tax incentives, that's pretty, you end up getting down to the $30,000 range. And that, for this, you know, small hatchback, is far more, you know, manageable, I suppose. And, you know, you don't get the crazy range that you get out of the Teslas and the Hummers, but you still do get like 260 miles of range. You know, that's pretty good. That's not range anxiety inducing unless you're going on a very long road trip.
So are you driving a 2021 or 2022 yes. or what? Because
that's
so,
right. Yeah. And it's important to note that there's the Bolt EV and the Bolt EUV. We're driving the EV. The EUV essentially is, you know, the kind of cynical trend now of just, you know, slapping crossover on the side, giving it 1 inch of lift and calling it a day. That's kind of what the EUV is. But I understand that EUV is going to have some additional capabilities, but, you know, calling it a crossover or a utility vehicle is maybe a bit generous.
All right. Do me a favor. Compare this to another car in size. Is it Honda Civic size?
It's Nissan Versa. Okay. Size, all right. Right. The older Nissan Versa hatchback. It's a subcompact hatchback.
Yeah. Okay. It's small. It's still, I think, a lot of money. All right. We're going to take a little break, come back and talk more about this. If you're looking for an electric car, that's what everybody's like focusing on right now. Are you focusing on that? I'm not. But if it says Hummer on the side, maybe.
Writing's on the wall.
Cancer is the number one cause of death by disease for children in the U.S. today. Since the Austin Hatcher Foundation's birth in 2006, it has grown to provide unique programs to help the children and the families affected by pediatric cancer. Support begins at the time of diagnosis and continues throughout survivorship at no cost to families. Lives touched by the foundation continue to rise each day. But we need your help. Donate, volunteer, or partner with the Austin Hatcher Foundation. Learn how you can get involved. Visit hatcherfoundation.org for more information.
This is The Drive with Alan Taylor.
Our show is brought to you in part by Subaru and the Outback. Go where love takes you. Thanks to Subaru. George Kennedy shoving his gigantic, enormous trunk inside. I don't know how you get your arms and legs
every
in there.
Time I come on, I somehow grow in
you are a very large man. Come on now. Just own it. All right. What are you, 6'3"?
By the time we're done with this year, I'm going to be like this, you know, Guinness Book of World Records, like gigantism candidate.
But so you're driving a Chevy Bolt and it's, I don't know. I mean, you're a big old guy. You know what I mean? It's like, this is like a little person's car.
I fit surprisingly well in it, and that's because it's got sort of that tall. It's narrow for sure. If somebody else my size was sitting shotgun, we'd be bumping elbows. But if it's just me commuting in it, you know, it's kind of got this tall layout where you sit a little bit more upright. You got a great view of the road. You got tons of headroom actually, and you're able to slide the seat way back. So, you know, if as long as no one's sitting behind me, I've got plenty of legroom.
Right on. All right. So the thing starts around 35 and it seems to me, actually, here we go. I just found it. Starting price, $36,620
That's
after
right, yeah.
federal tax credit, which I always think is like, because guess what? Not everybody gets that. But anyway, you have to look into it your own self. $29,995 So that's the price they were shooting for, is that $29,995. As shown, though, in this particular story I'm looking at, $42,000.
Well, and that's the we had the premier trim, and that is right in line with the same pricing. But I, you know, the things that you get it are, you know, a full array of driver assistance features. You get sort of this kind of, you know, neat like white and gray leather. It's got a pretty modern look inside, obviously. Very minimalist controls. But yeah, so it's, you know, there's a couple extra bells and whistles on that, but I think what's sort of the takeaway is that electric power, you know, any other vehicle this size that might have like a, you know, if you're a Nissan Versa and you've got like a 1.3 or 1.5 liter four cylinder engine, good luck trying to get the level of pickup that you get out of an electric motor and getting around town.
Yeah, but still, it's only getting 0 to 60 6.5 seconds, so they've got it kind of tuned back.
You know what it's great for, though? Most of the around town driving you're doing is pulling away from stoplights or intersections or pulling out of shopping centers, and that low-end power, that sort of get-up-and-go that this has, you're not going to find on a similarly sized gas vehicle where you kind of have to wait for the revs to get up higher.
Right. It says here, Bolt is the first affordable all-electric car to offer a EPA-estimated 238 miles of range in a single charge. But here's something else I just read, which I thought was interesting. 25 miles per hour of charge with a 240-volt 32 amp charger unit, which is something you put in your garage, plug into.
Yeah, that's the level two, exactly.
Right. So you got to charge it all night long, pretty much.
You
10
do.
Hours, 250. There yeah, you are got 10 you know, hours.
A network of chargers that are sort of like 6.6 kilowatt hour. Then that gets you 20 miles for every hour of charging. So you know, if you're at work during the day and you leave that in, you can charge it. If you need to get home or whatever and you've, you know, charge it for 3 hours and you've got enough to get, you know, 60 miles. So,
all right.
That's, you know, pretty impressive.
I just found something here. It says, here's some helpful tips. Rotate your tires every 7,500 miles. Okay. That's all right. I guess so. I guess EVs, by the way, have a little harder tire to create less rolling resistance. But replace cabin air filter if you're George Kennedy every 22,500 miles because the amount of noxious gas.
Oh, well, that's what that is.
Yes, you have to do it more often. Now, can I ask you real quick before we end here, did you enjoy driving it or did you get out of it and go, yeah, I could live without it?
No, you know what? I did, and I think it's because of that. That's the ability for it to get up and go at low speeds made it kind of fun. And the battery's low in the car, so at lower speeds, it's sort of kind of planted around corners. When you get on the highway, either from the wind resistance or the way it's set up, it's a little more twitchy at higher speeds. But getting around town is a pretty fun car. I enjoyed it.
All right. Chevy Bolt for 2021. It's about somewhere between, 30 and 42 or 3,000 bucks, depending on how you get it outfitted. I have no idea what to play. This is Smooth Criminal from Two Cellos. George, thank you, sir.
You know it, man. Take it easy.
Okay. Boston Globe, U.S. News and World Report, Car Gurus. You'll find him somewhere if you look. George Kennedy III. We'll take a break. It is The Drive.
Brembo has been stopping champions on the track as well as drivers like you and me on the street for over 50 years. Whether it's UV-coated brake discs, low-dust premium ceramic brake pads, or high-temperature brake fluid, BremboStoreUSA.com is the place to go to buy genuine Brembo OE-equivalent replacement brake components. Go to BremboStoreUSA.com to help you achieve that 60-0 braking performance you deserve and expect from Brembo. Brembo, the choice of champions and consumers for over 50 years.
This show is presented in part by Dodge. Domestic, not domesticated. Auto News. Exclusive interviews. Real world test drives. It's your turn to step into the driver's seat. This is The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
My goodness, the whole first hour we were talking about electric cars, and then I hear the intro to the show, and I realize that I'm going to have to change that up. It's going to be that music, and then it'll be the sound of an electric car. Oh, God forbid. Stephen Cole Smith is here with me. Auto Week Automobile Magazine.
I can't wait for electric racing. Oh, I mean, you'll be able to just watch it with a sound off.
It's like it's all you hear. It's, oh, boy.
Really?
And, you know, I'm driving, and God bless them, I'm driving a hybrid Chrysler Pacifica. And God bless them. It is nice. I mean, so
it's
nice.
A pretty nice vehicle.
So nice that my daughter, who has got two babies now, she got in it, and she has a real nice GMC Denali all-wheel drive. It's the loaded one. And she was in there breastfeeding her little baby. And I go, what are you doing? And she's like, I'm in the back seat. She had crawled in, got her little three-month-old, little girl, baby girl out who was crying. She was in my parking lot. I'm like, what are you doing here? Anyway, she goes, I had to crawl in here, crawl between these two captain's chairs that both have jump seats in them for kids, car seats, and then crawl into the very back seat and sit in the very back and breastfeed her little baby girl. And she goes, Dad, I got to get a minivan or something. And I go, ba-boom, there you go. This is why families love these minivans. They're roomy. They're comfortable. They're fantastic. And I said, come here. Come over here. So she looked at mine, the one I'm test driving, which is this 2021 Pacifica Hybrid. And I go, look, it's a plug-in. She goes, yeah, but then you got to get the fancy special plug. And I go, no. You plug it into any outlet. I go, I plugged it right in there with the trash can over there. She goes, you're kidding. I said, you plug it in all night long and it'll be charged up. I don't know how many miles it gets. I hadn't even done the research on it because they just dropped it off. But meanwhile, I said, when it's done doing the electric stuff and driving you around town for 10, 20, 30 miles, whatever it is, because it's a plug-in hybrid electric. They don't do as many as normal electric cars, obviously. But anyway, I said, then the engine will start and it'll drive you around and you have regenerative brakings. And when you're going downhill, it'll recharge the batteries just as soon as you let off on the gas. And I'm explaining all this to her. Do you know, she just bought one today, right now, get today. Out. Yeah, literally the exact vehicle, except... Let me tell you something. She bought the Pinnacle. Have you heard about the Pinnacle from the Chrysler Pacifica?
Yeah. I was at the long lead for that, and the Pinnacle is the Pinnacle.
I mean to tell you. She goes, Dad, it parks itself. I go, come on. She goes, no, it parks itself. And I'm like, it's a minivan that parks itself. I thought, it's fantastic because, you got kids, you got distractions. It's got all the safety stuff on. It's got this beautiful, what looked like Bentley interior, seriously. And she got a pearl
really
white.
Nice.
Oh, man. And then, of course, they have it just ended. They had a rebate going on. And then because it's a plug-in hybrid, there's a $7,500 tax credit. I mean, she's explaining to me. She goes, Dad, how do you not buy this? I get 12 miles to the gallon. This gets 82 E equivalent for electric and 29 miles to the gallon on the highway. And combined whatever it is, it's fantastic. She goes, Dad, this thing will pay for itself in the gas savings. And I go, there you go. And she goes, you know what? I totally get it. I used to think I'll never drive a minivan. My daughter's 28 years old. She is proudly picking up her new minivan today. So, and I know
there's a reason why there's a lot of them on the road. Chrysler and Honda and Toyota. Does Nissan don't make a minivan? I'm not sure if they do right now.
The Quest, they must be about
the
ready
Quest,
to come out
yeah.
something, you know. But that I think that but, was last year was the last year or 2019
yeah,
or something.
I think so. But Chevy and Ford, I don't think they quit doing the minivan just because there was no market. I think they were just getting their ass kicked by Chrysler.
Yeah, right. Well, they invented the minivan, as you know, with the Caravan. And this is really kind of, they still make, I think they, what do they call it? The Voyager or whatever. There was a Plymouth Voyager and a Dodge Caravan. I think they still make the old Caravan, but they make this Chrysler Pacifica, which, wow, what a game changer. All I can tell you is that if you guys are looking for something that'll haul people comfortably, unbelievable. Check out the Pacifica, the Pinnacle. I mean, it's like a Rolls Royce minivan. I know.
Yeah.
Steve, don't go anywhere.
Nice.
When Steve comes back, he's going to tell us about what we call the dust up, the dust bowl at Bristol. A dirt race. First time in a long time, but it was evidently a disaster. Stephen Cole Smith knows all about it. Stay with us.
Now's the time to earn your bragging rights and rule the road in a powerful Dodge vehicle. With enough style, horsepower, and performance to make your muscle car dreams come true, it's no wonder J.D. Power named Dodge the number one ranked brand in initial quality and driver appeal for mass market brands. Join the Brotherhood and experience the strength of Dodge muscle today. Visit Dodge.com or see your local Dodge dealer for great deals. Tied for initial quality study. For J.D. Power 2020 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards.
This is The Drive with Alan Taylor.
And our show brought to you in part by Brembo, the choice of racing champions. Of course, Brembo brakes. You can find Brembo at buybrembo.com if you want to buy some brakes for your car. Stephen Cole Smith joining us. Auto Week, Automobile Magazine, Grassroots Motorsports. And seems to me you're doing something else. What's the new stuff you're doing, Steve?
Some car and driver.
Oh. Well then, by golly, put that at the front of the line. Anyway.
Yeah.
So I understand. First of all, dirt racing at Bristol. That's I don't know why that doesn't seem that's familiar to me. Is it something new or what's going on?
Yeah. There? Well, it's new in the fact that they haven't done it since 1970. So it's the first time they actually had dirt races at Bristol with the World of Outlaws, you know, dirt cars. They're supposed to run on dirt about 7 years ago, I think. But this is the first cup race since 1970. They have run dirt races for the trucks for the last 7 years at Eldora, Tony Stewart's truck.
Right.
But they ran the truck race Saturday and the cup race Sunday. That was the plan. But both of them got rained out, so they ran them both on Monday. And you would think that the track would be so wet that they couldn't run on it, but it turned out to be so dry that it was indeed. Like I looked it up, the Kansas Dust Bowl was in 1930. So however long that's been is about how long
we've seen that much dust. 90 years or 89 years. Oh, my God.
Haven't seen that much dust since the Dust Bowl. But, man, it was all over the place. They had a lot of problem with dust. They're using their own dirt, for one thing. They're using that kind of red, red stuff that you get in Georgia and East Tennessee.
Right.
They need to go to the other end of Tennessee and get some good old Mississippi River gumbo mud. Because right. When I was living there, that's what you needed for a dirt track.
Well, it's funny because you just coughed. You just talking about it made you feel like you had some dust in your throat.
Yeah, it did. I'm about to cough again, but I'll be all right.
Okay.
But the big problem, though, is that the track needs to be damp to have a good dirt race on. And I'm a dirt racer. I mean, I've raced on it. And I go all the time. So the people who thought Bristol was a success are the ones that have never been to a dirt race. But the track needs to be damp. And because it's a damp track, once in a while you get mud thrown up under the windshield. Well, that's fine because no dirt car has a windshield. They have a windscreen, literally a screen.
Peel off.
Where the dirt flies. Yeah, the dirt flies up and then you hit it with your hand and it goes away. But the problem is that with a cup car or a truck, it's a structural part of the vehicle, so they don't take the windshield out, so they have to have the track dusty and dirty and dry, and that's why you have a crappy race like you had on Monday.
Oh, my gosh. I remember this whole thing, just listening to you describe that, took me back to Southern California where I grew up. Down in Ventura, California.
Ventura, California. I knew what you were going to say before you said it.
And I went to a dirt race one time. I was about 16 years old. And this buddy of mine says, come on, let's go. And I'm like, yeah, I don't want to go to a dirt race. But I went. And, man, it was a life-changing experience. But the funniest thing that happened is we're standing there with our hands in the chain link fence, you know, holding on. And as the cars are going, rah, 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 and just crap flying everywhere. And all of a sudden, I get hit right in the cheek with a big chunk of mud about, I don't know, the size of a silver dollar. Plop, right in the cheek. And I was like, ow! And I was like, my friends were all laughing at me. And you know what? It's like I got slapped in the face at a race by a chunk of mud.
When it's going 90 miles an hour, it's no longer a chunk of mud. It's a projectile. Right,
exactly. And it was just fun. And then, you know, that started my whole fascination with driving, you know, fast and having kind of a purpose behind it instead of just being a loose nut behind the wheel. And then I started Gymkhana racing because at the fairgrounds, they would set up these things. And I got an Austin Healey bug-eyed Sprite. And that was my Gymkhana car. What a fun car that was. Oh, man.
Absolutely.
Thank you for bringing back all those memories. So in about, I don't know, about 30 seconds, who won?
Joey Logano, boy, and I am getting old. I'm really getting old. Joey Logano, who has very little dirt experience, just kind of ran away with it. He did a good job. Denny Hamlin did a good job. But Joey Logano got the points, and he is currently the points leader.
I've done a lot of interviews with Joey. He's actually kind of a fun guy on the, when you're doing radio and stuff. You know, it's good.
Yeah, he's a good kid. He's not a kid anymore, but he seems like one.
Exactly. All right, when we come back, we're going to talk about a couple of cars. Steve got to go to an event. I have not been to one in a year. Steve finally did. We'll talk about that. Don't go anywhere.
Tuned. There's more of The Drive with Alan Taylor.
When you think Subaru, you think love. The 2021 Subaru Outback gives you state-of-the-art active safety technology for extra confidence on every drive. You can count on the roomy comfort and impressive cargo space, standard raised roof rails with enhanced tie-down points, and Subaru Starlink multimedia with an 11.6-inch high-resolution touchscreen to wrap your experience with love for your Outback. Love, it's what makes Subaru, Subaru. EPA estimated highway fuel economy for 2021 Subaru Outback non-turbo models. Actual mileage may vary. Turbocharged engine, 11.6-inch touchscreen available on select models.
Well, you're listening to The Drive. I'm Alan Taylor, and our show is brought to you in part by Auto Tempest. AutoTempest.com. All the cars, one search. You know, why go online and spend, you know, all this extra time with Auto Trader and eBay Motors and True Car? They're all good. Cars and bids and even Carvana and other ones, you know, Craigslist. Go to one website, autotempest.com, and you get all the cars in one search. Check it out. Don't take my word for it. Check it out. It's very cool. Thanks for the sponsorship. Stephen Cole Smith joining us. Got a couple of final words before we get on to the test drive stuff. On the Bristol race in Tennessee.
Yeah, they announced during the race that they're going to have the race again, the dirt race, next year. And they got a few things that they can fix. They can get some different soil to put down. But I'll tell you, Debbie, my wife, asked, why did they do that? Is it just for something different? Well, that's exactly why they did it, because Bristol has two races. They're basically the same race. If you get a bunch of people to come to one, you invite them back and you say, come back and see exactly what you just saw 3 months ago. Well, this and the Roval, you know, when they're using Roval, the inside road course,
right,
like they're doing at Charlotte and Daytona, it gives them something different for the second race.
Yeah.
So it's a smart thing to do for Bristol, but man, how would you like to be the guy that has to dump all that dirt and pick it back up?
Well, and think about the stands where people want to sit and all that, and the amount of shampoo they got sold after, because all the dirt in people's hairs, they went home and they had grit in their teeth. And yeah,
they say if you didn't have dirt in your beer, you didn't have a good time. So a lot of people had a really, really great time.
That's funny. All right. Well, so on with Bristol's dirt race. I guess they'll just make some changes there. You went on the first test drive that you have since the COVID thing struck. So how was it? I mean, was it kind of same world that you're used to, or anything different?
It was
about
kind of weird. Yeah. And it was a Mitsubishi drive for the new Outlander, which is really nice. They've done a really good job with it. It shares some parts with the Nissan Rogue.
Yeah.
And it's probably the best Mitsubishi I've driven in a long time. But you're right, it is a weird deal. You know, all the chairs are 6 feet apart. I had to take a quick test before I was allowed to join the rest of the people there to make sure that I was negative. And I've had both shots, so odds were that I was going to be. But, you know, you could only drive by yourself. We've always been able to drive with somebody else to navigate, but you can only drive with yourself. And they sterilize the car every time you get in and out. So it's just a weird thing, but was something we're all used to now. But it was a different setting for something that we're all used to. So not necessarily interested in doing this for the rest of our lives, but hopefully it's coming to an end. I think we can at least see the light at the end of the tunnel.
Yeah, let's hope so. Cross your fingers, heart, and hope to die kind of thing. Well, I don't want to hope to die.
Exactly.
Who started that whole saying?
Well, no,
you know?
That's great. Where did that come from?
Anyway, but all things considered, you said, of course, now Nissan owns part of Mitsubishi, and so then they've shared this platform with the Nissan Rogue, which my wife, we just got one. We really like it.
Oh, and yeah. So, yeah, it's really nice, but the Outlander looks a lot different. It's got a really dynamic front end, and then they've made it a completely different vehicle, and I think they're going to sell quite a few of them.
Well, I think, too, the front sheet metal, which is, you know, fenders and bumpers and grills and hoods, that stuff is easy to change the look. And then, of course, you you know, you have the doors, which are easy to change, and the quarter panel, just the sheet metal stuff. The underpinnings and the drivetrain and all that stuff, that's the part that is the much more, the engineering goes into it a lot more. So they must have some shared stuff with that. And if they do, I think there's no downside to that at all.
No, there's not. I mean, why design a transmission when somebody else already has a transmission that you can use and vice versa? I mean, the way that Toyota and Subaru came up with the Toyota 86 and the little Subaru sports car. I mean, that, what a great idea. It's just the way you ought to do it.
Yeah. And, you know, it wasn't that popular with Toyota with the Supra because they partnered with BMW. I own a Supra.
Right.
I have to say, it's a wonderful machine, but the problem is the purist. You know, I said to a guy, he says to me, why don't you test drive motorcycles? I said, you know why? Those could be the pickiest people on planet Earth, motorcyclists.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
And I thought,
and I'm one of them.
Yeah, see? And I thought, you know what? I'm not that much of a motorcycle enthusiast, so I'm going to leave that to somebody who really loves that stuff. I'm a gearhead. I like cars and even minivans. My dad says the other day, I get my dad, he's 93. God bless him. Just had a birthday. He's 93. He gets in this Chrysler Pacifica. What does he say to me, Steve? He says, this is a nice boat you have here. He's British. So anyway, I said, thanks, Dad. Well, I'm not going to correct him at that age. I don't want to get slapped. Still liable to
And your dad has a British accent, in case people are wondering why you were talking that way.
I know, I can't help it. This is a very nice boat you have. I'm like, thank you. Let's put the fishing rods out and troll.
That's a good buy for your daughter.
Yeah. All right, Steve, thank you, sir. Congrats on all of the success and being able to go to an event and come back alive.
I am so far.
God bless you. All right, we'll take a little break, come back, and we've got Brian Armstead coming on, the 6'9" giant friend I have. He says, please don't say that on the radio anymore. All right. Well, he's not here yet, so he doesn't know I just said that. But the man is 6'9". Anyway, we'll be right back.
Stay tuned. There's more of The Drive with Alan Taylor on the road ahead.
Cancer is the number one cause of death by disease for children in the U.S. today. Since the Austin Hatcher Foundation's birth in 2006, it has grown to provide unique programs to help the children and the families affected by pediatric cancer. Support begins at the time of diagnosis and continues throughout survivorship at no cost to families. Lives touched by the foundation continue to rise each day. But we need your help. Donate, volunteer, or partner with the Austin Hatcher Foundation. Learn how you can get involved. Visit hatcherfoundation.org for more information.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
And our show brought to you in part by Dodge. Thanks to Dodge for the sponsors. Domestic, not domesticated. Kind of like my friend, Brian Armstead, by the way. Brian Armstead, I got to say something about you, Brian, because it's pretty impressive. Juror for North American Car, Truck, and Utility of the Year. President Emeritus, Washington Automotive Press Association. He's a CEO, I guess. Is it AutoSense and Road Gear? What is your relationship there? Are you the CEO and founder? What's the story?
It's the moniker I've used since I wrote for the Baltimore Sun. I had a column called Road Gear, and AutoSense has always been my freelance moniker, so I just combined the two. I still do a lot of product reviews under the Road Gear banner.
Gotcha.
But AutoSense is just what people know me as, Mr. AutoSense. I did 8 years on XM Radio. My program was called AutoSense.
That's
those two things have stuck.
Yeah. I knew you had a radio show because when we first you know, started hanging out a little bit about, what is it, Josh? It's been a long time, 20 years ago, whatever. You were loving radio, and you got a big voice for radio. And then you got a radio show, and then like me, I'm not on satellite right now, which I don't know if I care or not. I'm on 100 radio stations, as are you, as we're speaking. And you are a contributor also to Forbes Wheels and CarExpert.com and this radio
show. Among many other sites.
Right? Yeah. You know what I'm saying? And so we all get distribution one way or the other to talk about the things we love, which is cars, trucks, SUVs, and all that stuff. So I got a question for you. I saw you were in Miami with a handful of other folks that were brave enough to go out into the world and take an airplane ride in this COVID-infested environment that we're in. And you went to Miami to drive the new Mitsubishi Outlander and another vehicle called the Eclipse Cross. And these are both 2022 vehicles. Which one do you want to talk about first?
Let's do Outlander first because I had the most fun in the Outlander. I'm a big guy, Alan, as you know. And the Eclipse Cross is a very nice vehicle, but I was a little cramped, so I'll spend more time talking about the Outlander. Not that there's anything wrong with the Eclipse Cross. It's just not meant for guys who are 6'9", 285 pounds. Just not meant for me. So,
I know, right?
Exactly. So, Midtown Miami, Mitsubishi. Now, Mitsubishi, Alan, if you harken back to the 1980s, they were rocking and rolling. They've always been the fourth tier in the Japanese pecking order. It's been Toyota, Honda, Nissan, and Mitsubishi, and Suzuki after that. But Suzuki's no longer a player. Mitsubishi has had some bumps in the road. We don't need to go into that. But they basically have been the underdog Japanese brand since they've been out. And the 1980s was kind of like their heyday. They had the Galant. They had the Diamante. They had a couple of sport utes that were Montero and Montero Sport.
Right.
Had some Mirage and the really nice 3000 GT with the active aero. The car was just totally, bad,
Right.
So kind of fell out of favor. They had a little resurgence when they launched a ad for the Mitsubishi Eclipse Cross by a white rapper named Harry Mack, and he just nailed it. He plays himself as a salesperson, gets in a car of people driving the new Eclipse Cross. It's like the 2018 model, 2019, something like that. And then he just starts freestyling. You should check out the video on YouTube. It's incredible.
Okay.
So that kind of put a spark behind folks and, put Mitsubishi kind of back on the map. But let me tell you something, Alan. The Koreans, Kia, Hyundai, they've been eating everybody's lunch lately.
Right.
Mitsubishi, with this 2022 Outlander, is in the mix. This vehicle is outstanding. Now, I can't talk about drive impressions because it's embargoed until the middle of next week. But I got to tell you, when I can talk about drive impressions, I hope to come back on with you because, let's just say, it's a favorable outlook. I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah.
Now, Mitsubishi, these Japanese companies have their own kind of Japanese philosophy behind things. And
right.
I'm going to be very careful with this one, Alan, because the Outlander has a new product concept called iFu Dodo, and that's spelled I-F-U, sorry about that.
Yeah, right.
D-O-D-O, iFu Dodo. So, and it means authentic and majestic, kind of like you, Alan. You're authentic and majestic. You're a very classy guy. So I'll start calling you Outlander as we move forward here. But anyway, on first sight, they had us in a studio. They had the Eclipse and the Outlander side by side. This vehicle is stunningly good-looking, Alan Taylor. It looks like a BMW 7 Series in the back, and it looks like a Hyundai Palisade up front. And when I say Palisade, it's got that same kind of inverted bracket kind of daytime running light, full LED headlights, crisp body lines, clearly defined character lines, well-sculpted doors. The rear looks like a 7 Series. The taillights wrap
now
around.
Wait a minute. You said it's a 7 Series, but you're talking about an X7, the SUV, I'm sure.
Yes, right. I'm sorry.
That's all right.
You're right.
That's all right.
The X7. Thanks for clearing that up for me. It's just an absolutely stunning vehicle. Okay, well, you can look good, but do you play good? Do you? How does it look inside?
Right.
You know, well, the good things continue inside, Alan. Stitched leather, real aluminum trim. You know, you touch it, it's cold.
Right. Versus
all kinds
being
of
plastic,
really good things.
Right.
Let me give you the trim walk, and then we can touch a little bit more on the actual features.
Okay.
2.5 ES, $25,795. This is a 7-passenger, 3-row SUV, just to let you know here.
Yeah.
2.5 SE comes in at $28,845. Let me go back up a little bit. The base model features 18-inch alloy wheels, forward collision mitigation, blind spot warning, rear cross-traffic alert, Apple CarPlay, 8-inch smartphone link display, Bluetooth. Step up to the SE 28845, adds 20-inch wheels, LED fog lights, heated mirrors, hand-free liftgate, leather-wrapped steering wheel and shift knob, faux leather seating, fast key entry. So it has MyPilot Assist, which is a safety suite, not like the Nissan Pilot Assist, but, you know, understand that the Mitsubishi Group is now part of the Nissan family and the Renault family. They're all part of this whole alliance here. So just a little play on names here, which includes adaptive cruise control, lane keep assist, lane departure prevention, and traffic sign recognition, which is a really cool feature. You're driving along the road. The speed goes from 55 to 40. As long as it sees a sign, it will let you know that the speed has dropped. And that's a really cool feature.
Yeah.
That's the SE at 28,845. SEL adds leather seating, memory seats, roof rails, 3-zone climate control, and a 12.3-inch full LCD cluster display. Launch Edition at $29,995 has all of the features of the SE, plus a panoramic sunroof, auto-dimming rearview mirror, Bose premium audio with 10 speakers, ground logo illumination, all kinds of fancy lights, and available Amazon Echo. And then finally...
Hold on. We're going to finish on the other side.
Okay.
Let me just tell you. You said something that's important because we bought a Nissan Rogue, which this is, I guess, using the same platform because that's that family you're talking about, Mitsubishi, Nissan, all in the same family. The one we got was almost 40 grand. So if Nissan is going to do their thing for 40, and then Mitsubishi's going to come in and put the Outlander right under that on the same platform, I think they're going to do good because we love the Rogue. And it's a 2022. Yep. Don't go anywhere. We'll talk more about this vehicle. Mitsubishi coming back strong right now, says Brian Armstead. We'll be right back.
Stay tuned. There's more of The Drive with Alan Taylor on the road ahead.
Brembo has been stopping champions on the track as well as drivers like you and me on the street for over 50 years. Whether it's UV-coated brake discs, low-dust premium ceramic brake pads, or high-temperature brake fluid, BrembostoreUSA.com is the place to go to buy genuine Brembo OE equivalent replacement brake components. Go to BrembostoreUSA.com to help you achieve that 60-0 braking performance you deserve and expect from Brembo. Brembo, the choice of champions and consumers for over 50 years.
So our show is brought to you in part by AutoTempest.com, makes online car shopping easy with the powerful AutoTempest.com search engine. You can simultaneously search all the top car sites like Carvana, Cars.com, TrueCar, Hemmings.com, Cars and Bids, and many others. Check it out. It's amazing. All the cars, one search. AutoTempest.com. Brian Armstead is joining us. Brian, AutoSense and Road Gear, talking about the 2022 Mitsubishi Outlander that is just coming out to the automotive media world. He can't even talk about drive impressions. It sounds nice. It's, I think, built in some fashion on the underpinnings of the Nissan Rogue, which we own one. My wife drives it every day. We love it. Again, we have a 2021 Nissan Rogue. This is a 2022 Outlander. Starts, he said, at $25,795 for the base model. There's a mid model, $28,845. And then there's, we were just getting to it before the commercial break, Brian, a premium. What do they call the premium model of this Outlander?
The SEO Launch Edition.
Okay.
$35,345.
Okay.
Adds all of the aforementioned features and includes semi-aniline premium leather, wiper-mounted windshield washers, which is a real premium feature. It's a small feature, but it's a premium feature. Heated steering wheel, rear door pull-up sunshades, head-up display, and all kinds of goodies. And also has their patented super all-wheel control. It's a all-wheel drive system, includes torque vectoring and all kinds of goodies. And the display is a 10.8-inch display. When you step inside, you really feel like you're in a German luxury sedan. And some of the other, you know, things that I can't talk about just yet also kind of make you think that you could be in a, you know, a German luxury sedan. But again, we'll talk about that at some point in the future.
Right.
You can select different drive modes. It's got eco, normal, tarmac, gravel, snow and mud. So we drove across the Everglades and, you know, it's just a flat straight line, but the ride quality, I guess that's a drive impression. I can't talk about that. Let's just say, you know, things.
He's trying, you're dancing on the razor's edge, aren't you?
Things were good.
Yeah, right.
I can say that it has an 8-speed CVT.
Yep.
And that also was a positive, when sometimes CVTs can be a negative. Now, it has 13.8-inch rotors up front, Mr. Taylor. Think about the size of that. The rotors on this Mitsubishi Outlander are bigger than the wheels on some, you know, wheels used to be on some basic economy cars. It's just extremely well done.
Yeah.
They're going to knock this baby out the park. And this is one of the cars I've been looking to purchase another sport utility. I'm selling my Range Rover. I have a Volvo XC90 V8 that I love, but it's a little old. It's a 2007 model.
Yeah.
And, you know, I drove this Outlander. I'm like, this would work. Not only do I fit well, but even with the panoramic sunroof, I had, you know, I had some real estate above my my little mini afro going on, my little COVID afro going on.
Right. By the way, Brian is 6'9" tall. When you stand next to him, I'm 5 foot fat. When I stand next to him, it's like standing next to the Empire State Building. You're a giant man. And I will tell you that that sunroof, since we have a Nissan Rogue, which is similar, when the sunroof panel is slid back where the where you can see through the actual, what do they call that, panoramic roof, you get an extra two or 3 inches there. So I could see that would be good for you. You know?
It is just, it's just all around, hats off to Mitsubishi. This 2022 Outlander is a real home run. You got all kinds of standard features and a 10-year, 100,000-mile warranty. So take that, Kia and Hyundai. Mitsubishi is in the game with the 2022 Outlander. Let's shift.
Hold on. Before you shift, I got to take another break. You know, it's, we're not a podcast. Okay. We're an actual radio show, and the radio stations are like, we got to pay the bills.
Yes, sir. I love it. I'm all about it.
All right. Well, when we come back, we're going to shift gears and talk about what is a Mitsubishi Eclipse Cross. Brian Armstead drove it. These are both 2022 models. Yes, that is how fast our world goes. We just got into 2021, and they're already showing us 2022 vehicles and letting us drive them. We'll take a little break and come back. Mitsubishi's back in the game. This is The Drive. Stay with us.
There's more of The Drive with Alan Taylor on the road ahead.
Now's the time to earn your bragging rights and rule the road in a powerful Dodge vehicle. With enough style, horsepower, and performance to make your muscle car dreams come true, it's no wonder J.D. Power named Dodge the number one ranked brand in initial quality and driver appeal for mass market brands. Join the brotherhood and experience the strength of Dodge muscle today. Visit Dodge.com or see your local Dodge dealer for great deals. Tied for initial quality study. For J.D. Power 2020 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards.
Welcome back to The Drive. Now, here's automotive expert, television and radio host, Alan Taylor.
So we're talking with my buddy Brian Armstead. As he said before, he is 6'9" tall. He's a big guy. So I'm wondering, because the car we're going to talk about now is the Mitsubishi Eclipse Cross. The Eclipse is a sports car, right, Brian? Because you know. Huh?
It was back in the both heralded 80s that I spoke to you about.
What do you mean it was? They stopped making it.
That's where.
Yeah. So you're telling me, wait a minute. Yeah. This is called the Eclipse Cross, and it's not what we think when we say the word Eclipse, which I picture a bar of soap-shaped sports car. This is a crossover vehicle with the word Eclipse in it. I don't know what to think now.
Kind of like the Mustang
with
the word Mach-E in it. You know, about it like that way, Alan.
I know.
You take a powerful, you know, American icon and you make it a crossover and call it a Mach-E. So, you know, that's...
Yeah.
We are a CUV, SUV, SAV crazed society. And the bigger, the better. So here we go. We got the Eclipse Cross. It's a smaller vehicle. It's much smaller than the Outlander. So again, I fit fine. It's a great car if I had a 12-mile commute.
Right.
But it's not meant for anybody really over 6'2", 6'3". You'd kind of want to look at something different. But that doesn't detract from the drive quality, the ride quality, the features, and especially the safety features. Now, I buy all of my cars based on safety, which is why I got all kinds of German stuff and this big old hunking British SUV and a Volvo Sport Utility and a Volvo wagon sitting out in front of my house. You know, the Japanese have made and the Koreans have made marked improvements, marked advances in their safety technology. You know, Subaru is one of the safest cars on the road right now. And I think that the Eclipse Cross with the standard safety suite that it has is going to be one of those vehicles as well. If you take, for example, the base ES 1.5T, which comes in, it's a two-wheel drive, front-wheel drive, comes in at $23,395. It's got forward collision mitigation with pedestrian detection, lane departure warning, hill start assist, active stability control, and seven airbags, including a driver's knee bag, which is critical because even with a three-point seatbelt on, if an impact is severe enough, a phenomenon called submarining can occur where you actually slide under the seatbelt.
Right.
Now, the passenger side is usually where you find the knee airbag. They have one on the driver's side in this car. I'm sure as they evolve it, you'll have a knee bag for both sides. But it's a really nice safety feature in a $25,000 car. So we have the two-wheel drive at $23,395, all-wheel control, super all-wheel control, $24,995. Then you have the 1.5T. It steps up to LE trim, SE trim, and SEL trim, with the SEL trim topping out at $28,995 for the all-wheel drive, $27,395. Kind of did that backwards for the front-wheel drive.
Right.
The Mitsubishi Eclipse Cross is a solid little sport utility, five-passenger, ton of good features. Kind of Japanese styling. It's not as beautiful as the Outlander,
right?
But it's a nice looking vehicle. It's got the kind of gimmicky front end to it, but it's a good looking vehicle that does everything very well. And it's got all kinds of really cool accessories that are available at the Mitsubishi dealer.
Right.
I'm just really happy to see Mitsubishi, the underdog, back in the game. And I wish them a lot of good luck. You can go to MitsubishiCars.com. You can spec out your 2022 Outlander, which I absolutely love, thinking about buying one. Or you can spec out your 2022 Eclipse Cross, another terrific vehicle. Again, great for smaller people or smaller families. It's just not a big guy kind of car, but that doesn't mean it's not a great car. The Outlander comes with a 2.5-liter naturally aspirated engine.
Right.
Or to make that 2.4 and 2.5 liter for the Eclipse Cross. So across the board, really some cool vehicles.
Well, nice to see Mitsubishi getting back in the game. I actually have a wonderful Mitsubishi television. They're good at whatever they do. And there's more choices
now.
Well,
they've been a conglomerate for a long time.
Absolutely. More choices for the consumer. Brian, thank you so much. You guys can find his story on the Mitsubishi Outlander, the 2022 Outlander, at thedetroitbureau.com. And Brian, thank you again. Happy
By the way, sometime next week, because after the embargo lifts.
Okay. Happy Easter, by the way.
And to you. Thank you so much, my brother. Really appreciate being on today.
My pleasure. Happy Easter, everybody. A day to rejoice. I'm Alan Taylor. We'll see you next week. When you think Subaru, you think love. The 2021 Subaru Outback will make you fall in love with its state-of-the-art safety features, a spacious and comfortable interior, and convenient amenities, all ready for any adventure. Standard symmetrical all-wheel drive, plus up to 33 miles per gallon, 8.7 inches of ground clearance, X-Mode with hill descent control, and a direct-injected turbocharged Subaru boxer engine will make you love every adventure in your Outback. Love, it's what makes Subaru, Subaru. EPA estimated highway fuel economy for 2021 Subaru Outback non-turbo models. Actual mileage may vary. Turbocharged engine, 11.6-inch touchscreen available on select models.